Thank you for tuning in to the podcast, Supporting Volunteer Motivation with Technology. My name is Carrie Robidoux, and I'm an Extension Educator for the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development. Today, our podcast is recorded live in front of an audience at the National Extension Conference on Volunteerism 2017 in Asheville, North Carolina. Hello to our studio audience. There they are. Fantastic group of people, and thank you all for joining us today. And now I would like to introduce Molly Frendo. She is a colleague of mine from Minnesota who is also an extension educator and works with me in distance learning technology. She's going to share ideas about how to support volunteer motivations with technology. Molly, thank you for joining us for this live podcast today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
You bet. In our time together today, Molly is going to discuss research and best practices for utilizing technology with volunteers. And we're going to specifically focus on two ways that we can think about that. And then we're going to invite questions from our audience that we have here. So Molly, let's get our conversation going. First of all, will you please share with us how you became interested in volunteer motivation, and I think specifically how technology supports those efforts?
Sure. I got my start in extension right around the time when Facebook was just taking off. And I was running an AmeriCorps program, and that was the time really when it was, don't get caught on Facebook while you're at work, right? And within a couple of years, it really switched to, can you teach the rest of our staff how to use Facebook? Because that's how people are communicating and that's how they want their information. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that happened was that I also was teaching as an adjunct at a community college, and they started to ask me if I wanted to teach online. And so as I was learning how to teach online, I also began thinking about how we could use some of the same practices for supporting volunteers, just building in the structure that provides. You know, how could we use that to provide tools for them, training, allow them to communicate with each other and support each other? So that's really how my interest grew. And from there, you know, it just sort of took off, especially as we're getting into this do more with less. Mm-hmm. Technology can be a great way to do that.
And Molly, I've always appreciated working with you and how you have really worked with technology and working with volunteers, working with staff, working with youth from when it really started to get going. So you've grown with it with your career. So I think with that, we'll start with you sharing. I know you have a theory that has guided your research on volunteer motivation. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get to our two ways technology can support those efforts.
So, sure, yeah. The theory that I used really to guide my work is DC and Ryan's self-determination theory. And I like it because it's pretty simple. So it's not a volunteer motivation theory, but it's a general theory of motivation that basically says in order to continue to stay motivated, people need to feel a sense of relationship, they need to feel competent, and they also need to be able to sort of act autonomously. So, as I was learning more about that, I really felt like it translated and fit well with the volunteer motivation, the volunteer best practices research, right? Like, mm-hmm. Volunteers need a strong sense of relationship with other volunteers and with staff. They need to know what they're doing and feel like they're equipped with the skills to be successful. And last but not least, they want to know where they're going, but they want the flexibility to sort of choose how they get there. Mm-hmm. So, and they also, I think, want to be able to choose how involved they're going to be in the program. Deciding at what level and not feeling like someone's asking too much of them or taking advantage of the sort of what they're willing to give.
So people need to feel that sense of relationship, competence, and autonomy, mm-hmm. in order to be motivated in those volunteer programs. So as we're working with and talking to people today who work with volunteers, you've mentioned that technology can do two things. So I know it can do a whole lot more. but we're going to focus that today on two specific areas. And I'll mention what both of them are right now. And then I'll have you talk about each of them separately. So the first one is enhancing communication between volunteers and staff. Mm-hmm. A second one is really looking at among volunteers how social media specifically, mm-hmm. Can be used to recognize them and use as a tool, mm-hmm. as they identify and acknowledge them with that tool. So let's start with the first one. the communication aspect between volunteers and staff.
Sure. And actually, when I think about communication and this sense of relationships between volunteers, it goes back to that theory of motivation, right? Like, communication not only makes people feel supported from the program side, but also gives them the information they need so they know what to do. And
competent.
You know, and also, they can choose how to access the information, what to do with it, you know, that all of that sort of ties back. How do you connect those things back to that theory? Mm-hmm. So on the communication side of things, I think technology can really be a tool that we can use the technologies to push things out rather than asking people to come to us, right? So thinking about, how do we push things out, whether it's email, whether it's text messaging, using our organizational Facebook pages to push things out that we think are timely based on whatever's happening in the program. And so instead of forcing people to come to our website to look for things, we can better support them in our communication just by sort of anticipating their needs, right? Like, we know that these are things that are likely to come up. I'll use a 4-H example. In October, we know that stuff happens around enrollment. And so how do we push out reminders of this? These are the forms that are going to be due instead. And here's a hot link to them, so that you can complete them. Thinking strategically about how do we make it easier to be transparent about what's happening and clear and distinct. And I think technology, especially if it's done well, forces us to be succinct, right? We have a tendency to just get overly complicated in our communication, and people, the information moves so quickly, you have to make sure that you're saying what you want to say in a quick way so that you're not swallowed up by the next thing that's then just going to sort of pile up on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to have us move on to the second one because I think they're both related.
Yeah, absolutely.
But among the volunteers themselves, but really, of course, our staff are in and amongst this as well, mm-hmm. is that the recognizing the volunteers and helping to identify resources that the volunteers may want. And you've already talked about in that communication the timely resources, and you can anticipate some of that, but how can we really focusing in on the volunteers themselves?
Yeah, I think one of the underrated things that are sort of underappreciated things that technology can do is really serve as a space for volunteers to come together and support and educate one another. It's funny because they believe and value sometimes more what each other, what another volunteer thinks instead of, they think, well, you're a staff person, you're paid to think that, and, you have all the time in the world and all the resources in the world, even though that may or may not be true. But when they have the opportunity, for some reason, it feels more authentic to them, right? If I'm a volunteer and I say, this is something that I do to alleviate whatever issue you're having. And so I think anytime we can give volunteers the tools, if we go back to that, everything that I have read about volunteer motivation really boils down to the importance of those relationships. And so anything that we can do. And so if we think about how volunteers are communicating, not just as volunteers, but in general, most of it is how people are communicating is through technology, right? Texting, Facebook. And even voicemail is dying, right? If someone sends me a voicemail, it's like the worst punishment ever. It means I have to listen to it. I actually just called them back instead of having to listen to the voicemail.
I saw that you left me a voicemail.
Yeah. Yes. What did you want? So if we can give volunteers the tools, the opportunities to connect with each other that way, one of the things that I first did when I got started in Extension, I was running an AmeriCorps program, and we had all of our AmeriCorps members in a closed online community, and I was amazed by how much they supported each other, right? I thought, oh my goodness, how am I going to support all these volunteers that I'm in charge of? And really, once I did a better job of connecting them, I found that they did the work for me. And it gave me the opportunity to sort of see, like, pink flags, right? When people are saying things that, I better intervene here. I found that it actually was really helpful to have that early intervention rather than, you know, most of the time people would wait until something was well beyond the point of repair. Mm-hmm. So, you know, seeing the things that they were talking about, they knew I was there, but for some reason they talked to each other differently than how they would talk to me. So
when you talk about that intervention too, the first point was about communicating with them and having a plan,
mm-hmm.
but that can reinforce your plan and help you see where the holes are in your plan.
Yeah.
They're telling you what they
right need absolutely to learn more and about. If you hear, you know, if you see a reoccurring theme of people having the same kinds of challenges, you're able to say, wow, we better do something about that, right? Like, could we provide a training, could we give them a resource, something like that, that if you don't have an opportunity to gather all that conversation in one place, you know, it can just get a little bit disjointed. So that gives you an opportunity to sort of go back and look to see what kinds of conversations are people having. The other thing, you know, if you're looking at technology to recognize volunteers, for me, volunteer recognition goes way beyond the how well do we thank people and give them awards. And for me, recognition as at its most basic is how do we recognize the service that people are providing and meet those needs by actually listening to what they want and giving them what they want, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, that I think for volunteers is more valuable, you know, we've been having this struggle and you helped us to fix it, is more meaningful than here's a thank you note or a plaque. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes their experience in the program better.
Well, Molly, I think you've given us a lot to think about in terms of technology helping to really harness our program and how we're communicating with volunteers and how they can communicate with each other. I can imagine there are questions that our audience has for Molly to take this a step further. So I'll open it up at this time.
Right.
Who has a question for Molly? We have one right here. Judith is coming up to ask a question.
Thank you. So I do have a question. You did touch on this a little bit, but what are the preferred social media formats and tools that volunteers would like to use?
You know, that really depends kind of on the demographic of your volunteer base. One of the things that I love to use, just to sort of get a feel, if you're not familiar with Pew Internet Research, they do a fantastic job, and they're usually pretty current. I know one just came out, especially on adults, but they, you know, sort of like the resource that Carrie shared in the presentation, Pew does a wide study of these are the technologies that different age groups are using, different ethnic or racial groups are using, men, women. And so I would recommend going there and seeing, you know, what does the research say your population is using? And then sort of using that to narrow down, and then actually just ask your volunteers, right? And especially if you're technology shy, start with what they're using, what they're comfortable with. You know, they're and if you have a group that's technology shy, or you're not sure about whether or not they're going to take on, start with where they are, and that's a great place to just sort of get a sense of that.
Good. And we have another question coming up here. Please tell us your name.
I am Prudence Caskey from Santa Rosa County, Florida. I'm the 4-H agent there. And my question is, how often do you send the contacts out? How often do you reach out? I've tried to do weekly or monthly, but it just seems something comes up and I fall short, no matter which is. Are you on a set schedule?
So are you talking about something like a newsletter then, or... You know, do you have specifically in terms of communication? Can you say a little more about that?
We try to do a monthly newsletter and then just touching base with our youth, because most of our youth are on any of these formats that
sure.
you're speaking about. So they use it readily. We do text and SMS and email and all of that. But Facebook is popular with the age group that I work with,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't want to bombard them.
Sure.
So how often would be...
You know, I think, I mean, that's a hard question, right? Because sometimes some people, they want constant communication, and other people, it's fine, you know, if they just get a little bit. So, one thing I always recommend is as you're bringing people in, ask them, how do they prefer to be communicated with, right? Do they want text message? Do they want, because we're at a demographic right now where, unfortunately, right now we have still a pretty good group of people that don't communicate through technology, and another group of people that, you know, if you send me a paper newsletter, it's going to be annoying because you're, to me, you're wasting the resource, right? And so, you know, asking how often. One tool specifically that I like, you know, I found that text message tends to be a pretty good, you know, something that most people can and will receive now. There's a great tool called remind.com that you can set up and, you know, people can opt into those text messages. You can assign different groups of people, so you could have a list for, you know, these sort of middle manager volunteers or these brand new volunteers. And it allows you to sort of see, are people getting my messages? You can respond right within the tool. And you can even do more than just pushing out those reminders. The question you asked is a complicated one because it kind of is, it depends, right? But, you know, I always say, even sitting down and asking people, how often do you want to be communicated with? The other thing I would encourage you is technology, especially social media, is always done best as a team. So if you can recruit some young people, some other volunteers, maybe tech savvy millennial volunteers or something like that, and build out, if you do a quick Google search for creating a social networking plan, it's fantastic. You can schedule it all out ahead of time. A lot of people don't realize Facebook allows you to sort of preset what things go out. And so even carving out an hour of time in your, you know, each Monday that you're going to have these messages automatically go out, anything that you can automate or that you could, you know, if you're going to put these messages, start in a document that you can just copy and paste and adjust from. So you're not writing from scratch every single time, right? Anything you can do to make it easier for yourself. So that's what I would recommend.
Great. Okay, we have time for one more question. Tell us who you are and what is your question?
I'm Lee Nelson Edwards from Becker County, Minnesota.
Sure.
And I just was wondering what your top tools or tech tools are for volunteers.
Okay. Great question. So one of my favorites I mentioned, Remind, and I think that's because SMS text messages don't require a smartphone, right? The research is indicating that more and more people they have smartphones instead of just regular phones, but you don't have to have a smartphone in order to use that. And text messages, you can push them out and people aren't looking. The other thing I think, especially for adult volunteers, Facebook is still one of my go-to ones. I would say that there's a difference between Facebook pages and Facebook groups, and I like both, but for different things. Facebook pages, really, if you're using those, you can recognize volunteers on there. You know, you could designate each Thursday every week to highlight a volunteer, and you can push resources out that you think might be interested, you know, interesting to them. You can ask them for feedback, you know, open up the door to invite them to communicate back and forth. So that really is sort of a public presence. A Facebook group, especially a closed group, which is what I would recommend, where you're moderating and you're making sure that you're only letting screened volunteers in that group, and you sort of set the tone for this is how we're going to communicate. But that is a space, especially because the demographics show pretty much almost all adults, with an exception of like a very slim margin of are on Facebook. And so, you know, how can we give them snippets of time when they're in line at the grocery store, when they're on the bus, when they're in between, you know, to just quick check in, get a quick snippet of information, post something and reply to someone else. That is to already, you know, look and see what is it that they're using and not force them to go somewhere else, but instead meet them where they are. And where they are for the most part right now for adults is Facebook. So start with that low denominator.
Thank you, Molly. And I appreciate you sharing with us today. We'll go back to that theory that you shared in the beginning of volunteers want to feel that sense of relationship, competence, and autonomy to be motivated. And I think you've given us a lot to think about and even some tools to explore to do that with the volunteers that we work with. So that's going to wrap up our podcast series here at the National Extension Conference on volunteerism. But Molly, I want to thank you for doing this with us today and sharing the information that you did. And a thank you to all of you for participating today. It was great to have you here. And as we bring this podcast to an end, that conversation does not have to end here. And we want you to know that you can find us on www.extension.umn.edu/youth. You'll find more information on working with volunteers there, as well as research, training, and events that we offer. And while you're there, check out our Minnesota 4-H program. We also have a Youth Development Insight blog where you can engage and comment on research and programming with our colleagues on things that they're working on. So I encourage you to also go there and keep the conversations going about our work with volunteers as well as our work with youth. That's going to wrap us up here today. This is Carrie Robidoux from the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development. Please tune in again soon.
Yay!